Thanks, Bernie. Much appreciated. Toch als groot woorde. The only reason I pray so much is not that I'm very spiritual. Even though I don't mind if people say that him or her is too spiritual. I think it's quite a compliment if they do say so. But the only reason I pray so much is that I've seen how my life looks like when I don't pray a lot. So I was without a lot of prayer for about 20 or 21 years. And that was a total wreck. So that's the only reason why I learned to praise and to seek God, is that I clearly saw how my life fans out if that is not the case. Let us quickly pray, and I'll just share with you what God has laid on my heart. Father God, we thank you for your body, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your people. And above all, thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reside, that you live, that you dwell amongst us and within us. And thank you, Father God, that we just declare that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you've given us all a measure of faith. Thank you, Lord, that you equip us and help us and empower us and love us and lead us in your word, so that we, all of us, each and every one of us, can walk in the fullness of that measure of faith that you've given and granted us. And that's my prayer, Lord, that we walk in the fullness of that faith that you've given us. God, have your way tonight. Have your way. Lord, like we prayed in intercession, thank you, Lord, that this can be a place of no confusion. Thank you for a place of peace here tonight. That we can hear from you, Lord. That we can hear your still small voice, Father. That the lies and the rush of this world and in the spiritual realm will become dead quiet in this place. So that we can hear from one and one and one only, the Good Shepherd. And thank you, Father, that we just declare that your sheep will know your voice and the voice of another that will not follow. Have your way tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've shared something similar a while back with our congregation on faith, and I'll get to the reason for why I themed it or called it Fighting Fit. Now, we're busy with a sermon series on sonship, and it's something dear to my heart at home in Tableview. But when I started, when Tien's phoned me up and said I should just come and share a word with you guys a couple of weeks back, I clearly felt God lay on my heart that we should share on faith. And we'll get to the reasons for that shortly. My wife would have loved to be here. Edna, you met her the previous time. Some of you might know her, might have seen her. Our two little daughters. I could have brought them with to Bernie Biesig, but he had his fair share this morning. So they couldn't be here. But thank you guys for having me. And I must say, it's such an honor to be able to come and share a word. And it is quite daunting to come and share a word in a place like Gardens, where Tien's Jacobs, the teacher legend, shares the word. So please, you've had more than enough proper teachings. Please just grant me this opportunity to have a chat. Let's call it that. Just have a faith chat with you guys. Like I said, it's really an honor to be here and to share amongst you guys. And I must say, I enjoyed the worship, even when Anne-Marie and them and her team was practicing. It was quite hard that they had to stop. And likewise now, I was actually hoping that we could go on worshiping God, because there's a freedom here and there's something else that you guys have. And for that, I just want to honor you and also tell you that you're really, really blessed in having not only this worship team, but the freedom that you guys do have here. Drink it in, because it's cold out there. It's quite hard out there. Drink it in, suck it in, sponge it in. Every little bit of God and of his grace and of his love that you guys do have here. My heart at home at church is always that, Lord, may nobody leave here hungry or thirsty. And I must say, and it's not church talk. It's just what I think and what I feel and what I experience in the Spirit, that there's more than enough here. So drink in. If you're hungry, I trust that you will not leave here hungry. If you're thirsty, you will not leave here thirsty. But it's your choice. But yeah, so I just want to bless you guys. It's really, dis lekker dat julle my genooi het. Baie dankie. Thank you so much. Just to get back to faith and maybe the struggles of the world. It's maybe one or two tough stuff that we're going to just lay our fingers on tonight. But that is for good reason, because we serve a loving God. We're serving a loving Father. Who of you think that the world out there is actually quite tough? By the show of hands. For who of you, life feels like a bit of a battle? Okay. Now, there's one or two things that God laid on my heart just for individuals here, but we'll, in ministry time, I'll start sharing that. Maybe something simple. As I said, this is I see it rather a chat than a very deep theological sermon. But just to put it very simply, I had to share faith to primary school children the other morning. Who of you have the privilege to drive a car, a motor vehicle? Great stuff. And on what does that run? In other words, what do you have to put in your car so that it can go? Petrol. Guys, PhDs and degrees and stuff, and they're like, what is this guy wasting my time for? We're getting somewhere. I said we're starting it off simple. You need to put petrol in there. All right, guys, tell me. If I park my car outside and you have a look at it from the outside, can you see the petrol? No, you can't. Exactly. Yet, if it moves, there's a presumption, a very good presumption, that there's some petrol in there. Am I right? And likewise, I believe with faith. It's a very simple picture. But many times we like motor vehicles, we're cars, we say, I'm a Christian. Yet, it's not only on weekends that I need faith for my car. It's not only when I need to go to Bloemfontein or when I have to drive up to Joburg for a wedding that I need to put petrol in my car. It's a day-to-day thing. Likewise, with faith. Without that petrol, without that faith in our hearts, as Christians, we're not going to move. We're not going to move in the things of the Lord. And likewise, I believe that faith does not take a holiday. Walking in faith, the just shall live by faith, does not take a holiday, does not go on off weekends. The reason I'm saying that is merely that we need to fill up and realize that we need to keep on walking in faith day by day. We're quickly going to just lay a bit of a foundation before, as I said, simply put, we're just going to get to the nuts and bolts of this day-to-day struggles that we do have. And we're going to trust the Holy Spirit just to come speak individually into our hearts and just show where the enemy might be attacking or irritating or trying to take us for a ride. Maybe a quick testimony. I was about, I guess, 7, 8, or 9 years old. And the way I recall it, I was in a Dutch Reformed church. And I know it was not preached. So either I read it or somebody next to me said something about demons. And I had the fright of my life. I must say, fear really struck my heart in that moment. And I was like, what is this other world all about? What is going on? And why don't I know anything about it? Anybody else had a similar experience about the supernatural, spiritual realm, or demonic forces? Okay, the four of us. The rest of you guys, have an awesome week. And we chat to you next week. No problem. Thanks for the message. So for the next 10 to 15 years, there was this thing I heard and read about that I had no clue about. And the moment I would think about demons or this demonic other realm that I cannot see and cannot touch and that my dad, nor his dad, nor his dad knew anything about, I had a bit of a fear. 10 to 15 years as a Christian not knowing about the spiritual realm is quite a long time. Am I the only one that has that, have had that experience? So now and again, somebody will say something or you'll see something on a movie about the spiritual realm and you'll get all freaked out. And I just realized 10 to 15 years after that, after I got saved and God started to minister to me, and obviously I got some teaching and I actually got into the Word and to the realities of the spiritual realm, that it's actually not that bad. It is actually quite fun. And once you understand the authority, once you understand the authority in the domain of God and His absolute godliness and who Christ is within the spiritual dynamics, things start to make sense and the fear subsides. I must say, 10 to 15 years to walk without that is quite a long time. Now, just to ask a very simple question once again. The mere fact that for 10 to 15 years that I ignored, did not know about the spiritual realm and the things going on in the spiritual realm, the mere fact that I ignored it, did that mean that it weren't there? Not at all. It was going on to and fro, and the enemy was having a field day in my life, and that, with all due respect, I can tell you afterwards about, and it's really not that much fun. But the reality of the spiritual realm went on in my life, and I had no clue about it. Sorry, this is not, I know it seems a bit heavy at this stage. It's going to get lighter, hopefully soon. But the mere fact that many Christians or some Christians, quite frankly, either ignore or are ignorant of the spiritual realm does not wish it away. Does not mean that the door is closed and that the things is not happening or going on. There's a reason I'm saying that. Remember, we're first building a bit of a foundation around faith, and then we're going to get to the crux. And it's going to get a bit lighter, and it's all for a good reason. So please just hang on. Let's go. Let's look at Scripture foundationally. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that sounds as if it comes out of a Star Wars movie or some trilogy of Ene van Aart, and I'm not big in movies, and I'm not big on reading either, but it looks like fiction. For 10 to 15 years, and for many people that call themselves Christian, those terms and those terminology and the fact that this weird other realm exists seem like fiction. And especially this, is much more real than these words. Now, I looked up, just because Tins is the pastor of this church, I didn't do it when I preached at my church, I looked up all of those words on Esword, the Greek. It's all on Esword. Because I don't want to stand here talking nonsense. But I'm not going to bore you with all of that. Remember, this is just the foundation. Tins, this is just the foundation. Bottom line is, those things, those terminology, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places is merely Satan en sy trawante. Onthou jy jou sonnaarskool tannie het gepraat van Satan en sy trawante? Dis Satan en sy trawante. It talks about the devil and his workers. And yes, we can go into the detail of that. And yes, there's understanding for that. And yes, it's knowledgeable maybe to go in that if you're called. But I also believe that we can be innocent of what is evil, but excellent in what is good, as Paul said. Innocent, but not ignorant. There's a massive difference. Innocent of what is evil, not taking part, not going into deep, knowing about it, understanding as much as God wants you to understand in this season, and learning about it, keeping your eyes set on Christ the whole time, realizing these things, but not being ignorant, saying, "Och, ek het nie geweet nie." Because, "Ach, ek het nie geweet nie," gets people killed spiritually. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." It's not a carnal thing, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of this darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, for a long time, my world was merely this, this, and that, the whole time. And there was this fear for this other thing that I actually hoped did not exist. Word is clear. Next scripture, please. "For though we live in the body," 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, "we do not wage war in an unspiritual way. Since the weapons of our warfare," van ons fight, ons bokshandskoene, ons swaard, "are not worldly," the King James says carnal, "but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ." Two very straightforward, we've seen them all. More or less, the first verse is something that gave me a massive fright when I was a young boy. Nobody was there just to tell me, "Hey, relax. And Jesus is jy veilig. Maar hierdie en hierdie en hierdie is die waarheid." In other words, nobody took me through those things. Yet, it is quite true. Now, okay, Retief, the spiritual realm does exist. I understand that. And yes, I understand that it's not fiction. And yes, I understand for 10 to 15 years you were absolutely ignorant of this and had no clue what was going on in your life, and that most of the stuff that was stolen, killed, and destroyed in your life had much to do with that. But what does that have to do with me? You remember the guys that put up their hands when we started off saying, life is a bit of a battle and there's a couple of struggles out there. You guys remember putting up your hands? Will you do that again just to check if you're awake? Great. This foundation has got a lot to do with you. Now, how does this battle work? Getting back to fiction, who likes animation? It's only in gardens where people of your age will still like animation. And I know, coming from Malmesbury, let me qualify that. When I, living in Malmesbury for 5 years, think animation, it's Tom and Jerry and it's Disney. When you guys think animation, it's either your work or something highly technical. So I should have qualified myself. I was amper foot and mouth disease. But you remember the olden days, the Disney characters and the old animation. Wat hulle nog op regte boeke gemaak het, dat hulle so omflip. Those type of things. Where they had like a little devil on the one shoulder and a wat was it gewoonlik, a little angel on the other. Now a lot of that seemed like fiction back in the day, but is far closer to the truth than we might think. Luckily you guys have received the knowledge and the revelation and you do understand it. But there's a massive battle daily between God, the Trinity, and the devil. And all of us, if you want to know it or not, are smack bang in the middle of those battles. We find ourselves daily, as we sit here, we are in that battle. A battle between God and his God and his authority and his people, his warring angels, etc., and the devil and his lying demonic forces and all of those other terms that I looked up in Greek. It is important that we just, as I said, simply take these truths and remember to put them into effect. We're innocent of what is evil, but we're excellent in what is good. But still, we understand the playing field. That the reality we live in is not merely this, this, and that. It is a spiritual realm in which we find ourselves. And to know the adversary, to know the one that we're fighting against, is also quite important. Now, there's two distinctive things that I believe is important for tonight when we talk faith and when we talk in the context of faith. And it's found in Scripture. Yes, in Scripture once again. John 8, verse 44. Jesus is at word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of liars. Other translations will say the father of lies. Like that definition. Remember, just quickly, mind map. We're talking faith. We're just quickly laying a foundation. Reason being is we need to remind ourselves that we are in a spiritual battle, a spiritual reality. This, and that is not our mere reality. We're in a battle daily. Even as we stand here, we're in a battle, and we battle against whom? Firstly, the father of lies. The father of lies. If he speaks out of his character, and that is, in fact, just lies. Secondly, and this is the only other thing I want to say about that, in Revelation, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, these are two different scriptures. Nie lyk raak by mekaar getrek nie, but I believe there's two very important things about the character of the enemy in which we fight daily. Firstly, is the father of lies, and he's the accuser of the brethren. Any of you guys, after you got saved, after you've given your heart to the Lord, after you've started to walk with God, have you ever felt accused or condemned by the show of hands? If not, then let's do an altar call now, because quite frankly, I believe you might not have stepped over that line and joined the Lord, because that is what he set out to do. Guys, there's a spiritual realm that is quite real. And unfortunately, takes out brothers and sisters daily. And my heart just yearns that nobody missed their calling. Nobody missed their God-given calling on their lives. And unfortunately, we're in a battle daily. Some are lost in crossfire. Some are lost in these battles. And it's against whom? If you only remember, not only remember, there's a couple other things you can remember as well, but remember this about the enemy you're fighting daily, is that he is a liar. And that he's the accuser of the brethren. So as soon as you find yourself as a brethren, as soon as you find yourself as a saint, as soon as you find yourself as a son or a daughter of the Most High God, as soon as you say, Jesus Christ is Lord, you step into that box and you become part of the brethren that daily gets accused with what? Lies. And in the midst of being in a place of turmoil or depression or feeling down or feeling rejected, many a times we forget this very simple truth. We'll get to that just now. Who of you guys in here does litigation or criminal law? Nobody, cool. So I can speak a lot of nonsense about it. Great. I'm still a lawyer, but luckily I don't do either of those. I do a bit of cleaner work now and again on the side, but very low key. But I do know this about litigation. Is that you'll come into a court, you come into this battle, and you'll have a presiding officer, either a magistrate or a judge, and they will hear both sides of the story. Remember, we're talking battle here. Now, what do you need to win your case? It's in layman's terms. What do you need to win your case? What do you need to provide the judge that resides this matter to win your case against your adversary, against the other side? You need evidence. Unfortunately, There's a lot of these stuff in the news, and people on Facebook decide what evidence is, and they don't leave it up to a court of law. But that's also another sermon. The bottom line is you need evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. If we should come into this church, into a court of law, and Bernie is the residing officer and the enemy is accusing me of something, the enemy is accusing me of, let's not do this. This might just end up wrong. The enemy is accusing somebody of something. How do I refute that with something else? Great, that was really deep revelation. Let's edit that part out as well. Thank you, guys. If the devil comes in with a lie and says, if you're rejected. Okay, let's... Ek het gevoel die Here sê dit gaan rou wees. So let's do this rou. My mother and my father got separated. My father had an extramarital affair when I was in Sabia. And because of that, I really struggled with rejection in my life. Now, long story short, I've noted since I got married, my wife and I, we really get along quite well, but we also, I want to say driven, but we're strong-headed and we're passionate. We're really passionate. Ek hoop dit is 'n goeie manier om dit te stel. So we can differ. Oh boy, can we differ. But in the good sense of the word, so God just, there's no case where a thing drags out to what. So we might have a moment where we differ passionately, and then we get humble and we say, sorry, God. We say sorry to each other, and God restores peace. That's usually how it goes and how it should go, or at least in our house. Bottom line is, I've noted in my life that if I make a call as a husband, or just a normal call, I ask to do this or do that, and she does not like it or she disagrees with me, I started to get quite angry. Most husbands are like, and your punt is? But to a degree where it was, I believe, not godly or not correct or maybe too emotional. Long story short, just to bring it back to the lie of rejection, is that in that moment, I did not hear near it if extemi met jou saam nie, dis twee suikers nie, een nie, I heard rejection. I heard a bunch of lies that I've felt for many a years in that moment, and dit maak seer. So if she decides nie spur nie, then I hear rejection. Not saving money. Are you rejection? Very stupid example. So the adversary will come into the court of law and say, yes, rejected. Sorry, you're rejected. And in that moment, in the court of law, within this battle, I need an answer. Now, for many years, firstly, I did not know about a spiritual realm, and I did not know that there's an actual battle. I just thought I was a bit screwed up. God never thought that of me. In that moment, I did not have an answer for the adversary. I did not have an answer for the one accusing me. With what? Lies. Remember the two things? Accuser of the brethren, father of lies. So I'll sit there with my mournful tanner, and the judge would be like, Intu, wat gaan jy nou sê? And I won't have anything to say. In other words, kada. I'll walk out and I'm still hurt. Figure of speech, symbolic picture. Likewise, this is a court of law in a battle. To get back to the fiery darts, the enemy will shoot flaming arrows at you daily. And guys, I'm not over-exaggerating. I'm not trying to be all super spiritual and stuff. If you don't believe me, just walk on. The enemy is daily shooting arrows at the believers. Lies and accusations. By the father of lies, who is also the accuser of the brethren, daily shooting arrows. What do I have to fend myself against the flaming arrows of the enemy? And that's very simply, the next dish. Ha! That's the dish. A shield. The dish shield. It's merely a shield. A shield of what? Shield of faith. Guys, there's a spiritual realm that's more real than anything that you can imagine. There's unfortunately arrows of lies being shot by the accuser of the brethren, the father of lies in Sidravanta, as we said, jokingly, being shot at you and me daily. But there's a way in which we can fight this fight, and where this battle of life, the struggles of life, we all said, yes, it is true, where we can actually overcome and walk on. And that, I believe, is by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. The just shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. Not when I need a new car, I will live by faith. Or when I need that job, I will walk in faith. Or when I need breakthrough, I walk in faith. Or man, I want, not in my case, a husband, but I'm standing in faith for a husband. No. We need to walk by faith. The battle is not just around the spouse that you need to marry. The battle is not just around the breakthrough that you need for a new job. The breakthrough is not around, almost said a golf four. Where's the golf now? Golf 12 and a half. I have no idea. I drive a Toyota Avanza. No, really, I do. It wasn't a joke. Why are you laughing? The battle is not merely around standing in faith for the golf. And that might be, sorry, one of you might be standing in faith for that, and God might have given you a rhema word. I'm not knocking a golf. Bottom line is, we're not supposed to walk in faith only every third month, every fourth month. We're called to get fit by the grace of God, by surrendering and laying down our lives there and say, Lord, I don't know. Please help me. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Help me, help me, help me. Word of God, help me. Fellowship of the brethren, help me, so that I can put our shield up and that I can walk on daily. And you'll see why the scripture says the following. Let's go to, and you all know scripture by heart. Kom seker lekker om te bly vanaand. Ephesians 6, verse 16. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, this is not, guys, last time, ironically enough, I shared about not taking on unnecessary heavy burdens, and the heart of tonight is really not to burden you and say, oh, I need to walk in faith and I need to keep up this thing all the time. No, I believe God will help us. And the Spirit of truth will come and anoint us and lead us into truth. But I believe that we need to be in a place, and we might enter into seasons and seasons to come, spiritually speaking, where you can't just stand in faith for this or that or now and again, where God will, in every situation, enable us to keep up our shields. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Question, it's very easy. What does your shield look like? Oh, is that picture on yet? I saw that on somebody's face now. That's actually very cute. But the battle is not cute. The battle is quite real. And I'm not saying, please, I'm not saying, oh, I've got this solid, I could really perfect the shield. There's areas in which I believe God has blessed me and helped me to have a strong shield. One morning this week, I woke up. I haven't felt that depressed in my life. I knew that was not from within. It was just, what the heck is going on? I experienced a pressure that was quite difficult to explain. And I was on the phone with my accountability partners. I was with Edna. We took communion and we started to warfare. We warfared like prayed quite hard, very hard. And we prayed and kept on praying until there was breakthrough. So in other words, something got through and hit me, and I was not even knowing what the heck is going on. I felt, I worked for a lawyer, quite astute, young gentleman. He was very highly English, tried to teach me to talk English and a bit of law. And he always said that I felt like death warmed up. Now, on Tuesday morning, I felt like death warmed up. And it wasn't a physical thing. It has nothing to do with, in that case, with too much coffee or eating bread or not going for exercise. In that case, sometimes it might. Maybe just a quick pause button. I've been in a situation, that's where over-spiritualization comes in, where I'll be like full of pressure and I'm like, Lord, what is this thing? And please give me scripture and help me to fight this thing. And once I just chill out, God will just drop in my heart, go for a run. Sorry, I'm not contradicting myself. I'm just, this is just an ad break. And then I'll go for a run and the demons will be gone. So I just want to say, guys, there's some place for physical exercise. There's some place for running, and it does help you with demonic stronghold sometimes, but not always. And it was definitely not the case on Tuesday. What does your shield look like? What does your shield look like? You guys are 99% professionals, quite astute at what you do, high-profile jobs, etc. You're just all layers. All. Elke liewe een in 'n layer reg. You're really excellent in many things. But there's a place that we cannot afford not to be excellent. There's a place that we cannot afford not to have an answer. It's awesome. If you can tell me, if I had R1 million, you can tell me exactly what to do with R1 million to live my whole life off it. You might be excellent in exercise and you're like, Retief, once you get kaita, then things will be sorted out and you can work me out in that area. There's other people of you, you might be a psychiatrist, you might be good with numbers, you might be good in whatever. Be good in those things. Be excellent in those things. Excel in those things. But don't miss out on these things. Don't miss out on these things. Unfortunately, what I found once or twice is that, let me put it the other way. I really have a heart to protect my two young daughters. They're 4 and 2 years old. Man, words cannot explain how much I want to protect my daughters. Now, luckily for me, I've realized that my best protection will be God's will for my life and their will, and their lives. Luckily, I've realized that He will protect them if I look to Him. That's just a by-the-by. But I will, in my physical and spiritual and emotional capacity, do as much as I can to protect them. Because what? I know what they're worth. The things that you protect with your faith, the things that you protect with your shield, do you know what it's worth? Your heart. Guard your heart above all things. Do you know how much it's worth? Your mind, the things you take in, the seeds you take in daily, do you know how much it's worth? Your spirit, your soul. Many a times we protect something, might not protect something, because we don't know how much it's worth. Guys, I didn't protect my mind. As a young guy, I didn't protect my heart. I didn't protect my purity. I didn't protect my imagination. I didn't protect my mouth. I didn't protect my thought life. I didn't even protect the material things that I was given. and my life ended up in total ruins. It was only at that place, like the prodigal son, where I realized how much the things are worth that I should have protected. Maybe I'm preaching at the converted today. But it's maybe something you can share with somebody else. Young girls out there. I've got the privilege to share with a couple of 15, 16-year-old guys at a local high school. Man, I wish I could have spoken to myself and spoken into my own life when I was 14. To tell me, hey guy, get a shield, protect it. And that's all I want to share with you guys today is get a shield, protect it. Know what it's worth, what you're protecting. When do I need to start saying, and in closing? Is it about time? I totally lost track of the time. Just quickly, just the last thing. How do I build up my shield of faith? Let's get practical. You're more than welcome to say nothing. I haven't done a congregational stare down, and I'm not planning on doing that either. That's just plain rude. So I'll tell you how you can build your shield up. Faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. I love that. And if you look at that hearing of the word of God, that word there speaks of rhema word, something that's revealed, something that rhema enlightened in your heart, a spoken word by God, spoken word that was enlightened in the logos, in the word of God, something God dropped in your heart. In other words, in spending time with the Lord, in connecting with your Father, in hearing what He says, I'll be sitting in the court, and the enemy comes in and say, hey, Retief, yes, I'll be rejected. And I'm like, God, and he says, Neros Yemeniri. And I'll just say, Neros Yemeniri. Case closed. A rhema word into your heart. I told you, I shared about a bit of our testimony last time. I don't know who of you recall, but we were in Malmesbury for about 5 years, mostly without finance, mostly without income. I was a lawyer earning nothing, and I didn't have a real job either. That is quite difficult to explain to your father-in-law. Now, believe you me, you need a shield of faith there. The dots might not come from him personally, but they're flying around. And many of the arrows, unfortunately, were shot in my direction, not by Christians, but by means of Christians, by the devil, the accuser. And there I had to know and had to learn that the verses in Matthew 6, talking about God's provision and that He will look after you like He looks after the birds, and don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has got enough troubles of its own. It's not a mere thing that you just email to somebody or SMS them. It is something that you hold up. It's a matter of life and death. My whole character, my whole identity was so under attack because I felt worthless and useless. Useless. That wasn't a word. You guys wouldn't have picked that up if I didn't say that. Anyway, edit out number two. I felt absolutely worthless. My identity was shot. Until God, by His grace, started to rhema His word, rhema His promises, rhema faith into my heart, where He came through daily, supernaturally providing for me and my house, saying, you guys should have Sophia, have your second child now. I'm like, cool, Lord, in 9 months I'll have a job. And in 9 months later, I didn't have a job. So here's these people. They don't have income. They get another baby. They're just plain ruthless. Hulle dink wat hulle doen, hulle is net onverantwoordelik. And God just comes through every single time. As we start standing on His word, as we start lifting up the shield of faith. and the fiery darts of the enemy falls to the ground. The weapons formed against us comes to nothing. Now that was finances and that was us. What is the accuser shooting at you daily? What is the fiery dart shot at you, shot at your heart, shot at your calling daily? What is the lies, what is the accusations trying to stifle, trying to kill you spiritually? What is it? And second to that, what is the faith that you're going to lift up to stand? What is the faith of God, the faith of the Word, the faith of the Spirit, the rhema faith that God imparts in your heart prophetically that you're going to lift up so that we can stand? So we can win our battles. Because, hey guys, we're in battles. But we're not called to lose. We've not been called to lose. We've been called to stand. And we've been enabled to stand. And it's been made easier by our Messiah, by our Savior, by our King, Jesus Christ. The way, the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. Think if we may maybe go into worship, we're going to trust the Holy Spirit to firstly reveal the identity of these arrows in some of our lives. And then we're going to trust God that He helps and enables us to form a shield of faith. Faith is a substance, a reality, a weighty thing. In the spiritual realm, a place that is quite real, faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. And Jesus said, I've been given the authority in heaven and on earth. He's given us the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. In my own words, take out fiery darts. And the rest of that scripture says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. There's a place, I believe, where we can stand in faith and walk by faith, filled up with our shield held high, where nothing can hurt us. So let's trust God for that. How do we worship from here? Let me quickly pray for us, and then we can go into worship and trust the Lord to just minister a bit. Lord, I just thank you. I just honor you. I thank you, Jesus, that you firstly are our shield. Lord, your name is a strong tower. It is a shield in which we can run. God, I don't want to see people perish because you don't want them to see them perish. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, the Counselor. Thank you that you come and counsel us. Come and counsel our hearts now. Come and show us, Father God, where there's something that's been nagging, something that's been hurting, something that's been shooting at us daily. And we could just not put our finger on it. Come and show us today, Lord. Counselor, please counsel the truth to us. Reveal to us. Reveal to us, Lord. Reveal to us, Father God, what is that fiery dart? And then, Holy Spirit, enable us to lift up the truth, lift up the word, lift up Christ, lift up our shield. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Thank you, Father God, that we can stand, Father God. We can stand, Father God. We will live and not die in Jesus' name. Spiritually, we will live and not die. We thank you, Father God. The devil, the accuser, came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus, you came to give life and life in abundance. Life and life in abundance. Thank you for revelation in this moment. Thank you for revelation in this time.